Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo. Welcome to the Miss ADD Hour. I'm going to be taking phone calls from anyone who has questions about attention deficit disorder. I'm wondering how many of you out there actually realize that ADD is a gift. And this is one of the things that I like to help all the people that I work with to embrace their ADD and their creative side and really get in control of their negative symptoms. So we have a question from David in Redondo Beach. So the question is, for adult who was newly diagnosed with ADHD, what is the next step or a couple of steps that he or she should take to start working on or treating the ADD? So the first thing I would encourage them to do is to go in and see a psychiatrist if they haven't already done that, and really sit down and discuss with the psychiatrist medications and the different types that are out there. And after that discussion, the psychiatrist will either diagnose or not diagnose and prescribe medication. Usually the medication is a stimulant medication, which helps with focus and attention. If you're one of those people that decide that you don't want to have medication, then I would encourage you to find a good coach. Somebody can help you to discern what's going on with your negative symptoms. So let me list some of them for you. That's inattention, inability to focus, procrastination, no follow-through, communication issues, organization issues. And so I believe that what a coach would be able to do would to help you to zero in on what are the negative symptoms that you really want to work on, and they can help you to get into control of the negative symptoms, but you're going to also need some help in the mindfulness area to really get in control of these. And that's something that we will be talking about as the time goes on. So I hope that this answer to David's question is very helpful. And I have another question.
There's a lot of feedback on those headphones, so I can't. So as I'm talking, there's a delay. Yeah, so I can't. Can I leave them off?
Yeah.
I can't, because it's getting okay.
Yeah, so I can't. Can I leave them off?
Okay, is this Elena?
Yeah, I can't, because it's getting okay. Yeah, so I can't.
Hi, is this Elena?
Elena? Yes, this is. Hi.
Hi, Elena. How are you? This is Justine.
I'm great, Justine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I just need some advice. I have a child. My son is 14 years old, and he has ADHD and also some learning challenges. And he's not getting the help that he needs at school. And I'm needing some advice on what I can do to help my child.
Okay, so he was diagnosed with ADHD?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been into school yet to set up a 504 plan for him?
Yeah, he's actually on an IEP.
Oh, he is. Okay. And so, but it's not working?
No, it's not working. And the accommodations that are set forth for my son, they're not following the accommodations.
Okay.
No, it's not working. And
okay, so what you're going to need to do is probably hire an advocate or a coach so they can go into the school meeting with you. Because if you have an IEP and they're not following the accommodations, then this is a big issue, and the school has to be held accountable for that IEP. And sometimes when you're a parent and you're alone and you don't know a lot about, you know, what the laws are, school will not necessarily always do what needs to be done. So my suggestion would be that you find yourself a coach or an advocate who can go into the school meeting with you and really address the issues of your son. Has he's been tested then? He had psych testing done?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, and does he have some learning disabilities?
Yeah, he does. He has an audio deficiency.
Okay. So he's not getting accommodated where he's doing well.
Yeah, and plus he's so far behind. He's now in ninth grade, and pretty much just the school system has just been pushing him along through school and not helping him. And now that he's in ninth grade, he's so far behind that now he's become frustrated, and he absolutely hates school, and it's just causing not only a problem for him at school, but at home as well.
Yeah, and I understand that because school needs to be a safe haven for kids to go to, and when they don't feel safe and they don't feel like they're learning and they're doing well, it can really, really hurt their self-esteem, and these are the kids that can end up going to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, and that's pretty much happened to me with my older son that was diagnosed with ADD about 6 years ago, and now he's turned to drugs, so that has me very concerned.
I'm so sorry about that, Elena. So we're going to make sure that we get this, that we get your son all set up. They have to follow the IEP, and if he's in classes that he's not understanding because he is way below where he needs to be in level for ninth grade, then they need to accommodate him and put him in classes where he's going to be able to be brought up to speed. So in other words, maybe a slower English or math class that maybe is either team taught or taught by a special ed teacher, an expert, that's really going to address his deficiencies so that he can be brought up to speed and he's feeling good to get good grades, because that's what it's all about.
Okay. And you had mentioned about getting an advocate or a coach. How could I go about finding somebody in that area, in that field?
Well, I'm an ABD coach. I work with people all the time. If you want, you can go to my website and you can connect with me through my website, because I am – where are you located? Because I'm in the South Bay.
Okay. That would be great, yeah, because I'm in Lawndale, so that would work out for me.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so go to my website and contact me directly.
That would be great, yeah.
And my website is missadd.com.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you
so much.
All right, I look forward to hearing from you.
I sure will. You'll be hearing from me really soon, Justine. Thank you so much. You really have opened my eyes in the direction that I know I can. You've given me some really important feedback, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You take care.
You too, Justine. You have a wonderful day, and thank you so much.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Hi, is this Gazelle?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Gazelle. How are you? I'm Justine, Miss ABD.
Good, thank you. I have a question about treatment for adult ADD.
Okay.
I tried Adderall as a medication, and it didn't really make me feel good, and it's also very expensive, and I was wondering if you knew of any other treatments for ADD.
Okay, now when you mean other treatments, are you talking about other stimulant medications, or are you talking about other types of treatments?
Both.
Okay. Well, yes, there is a lot of stimulant medications that are out there. Adderall can at times be a little bit too powerful for some people. What I have noticed through the 20 years that I've been doing this is that people who have emotional issues, Adderall sometimes can kick those off, so it doesn't make you feel really good. You can have panic attacks. Because remember, these are stimulant medications, and even though they help people with ADD to slow down and focus, they're still stimulants, so they can increase anxiety at times. So there's Concerta is another stimulant medication that you can look at. There's Vyvanse is fairly new, and it's a combination of Adderall and Ritalin. Ritalin is the drug that's in Concerta. There's also a drug called Focalin. And these all extended release versions. And you can also get the immediate release, which is a little, sometimes can be very concentrated, but you can really focus very quickly on those. But my suggestion, I don't know if you already have a psychiatrist, but if you do, I would go back in and discuss with him or her how you're feeling. If you don't, I would suggest you find one, because that's really important. These are psychotropic medications.
Okay.
And now the other thing that you can do is find yourself a coach, an ABD coach, which is what I've been doing for 20 years, and they can be very beneficial in giving you the tools to help you manage and control the negative symptoms of ABD. I say negative symptoms because there's so many positives about being ABD. We are extremely creative people. We're out-of-the-box thinkers. We are not linear and progressive. We like to have a lot of fun. But we really need to get in control of those negative symptoms. And I've worked on that myself over the past 4 years and was on medication. I'm off medication now. So I really would like to share that with people that I work with. So if you would like to get in touch with me, you can also go to my website, which is missabd.com. And I don't know exactly where you live, but I'm in the South Bay, and maybe we can figure out a time to talk. Are you close to the South Bay?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. So if you would do that, then you and I can get together.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Gazelle. I appreciate you calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So I guess we have next on hold is Stephen. Hey, Stephen, this is ADD.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just wondering how I could, if you knew of any support groups that for adults anywhere.
Oh.
I'm in the South Bay.
Perfect. Yes, I do. In fact, I run a support group for CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD. That's a nonprofit that deals specifically with attention deficit disorder. And I run the adult support group. It's a powerful group. We're doing work from the inside out, which is so much about clearing out the thoughts, because people with ADD tend to ruminate a lot. And I help people to just be able to clear them out and get focused. And we're doing a lot of work with unblocking negative energies from our past. So it's a really exciting group. We also spend time talking specifically about the negative symptoms and how we can really get in control of those symptoms. So the group is Wednesday night from 7:30 to 9, and it's located at the Center for Learning Unlimited, and that's in Torrance, California. And if you Google it, you'll be able to get the address. So hopefully we will see you there.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, so I would hope that other people would be calling in. But in the meantime, I thought maybe I would tell you a little bit about myself, since I'm new to talk radio. I was diagnosed about 15, 16 years ago, so it was later on in life, and it really answered a lot of questions because when I was young and growing up, I was labeled stupid, lazy, procrastinator. And that was very upsetting, and it set up some real negative schemas up in my brain that I couldn't let go of. So I became a pretty negative person dealing with the diagnosis of ADD, and also at the same time, my sons, both my sons were diagnosed at very young ages, which was difficult. It was very overwhelming, which is one of, again, the negative symptoms. We get overwhelmed very easily and we shut down. So during the course of that time, I did go on medication. I was on 30 milligrams of Adderall for a very long time and just trying very hard to work on myself and being able to be a mom, and I was working part-time. Of course, I was doing coaching and trying to hold it together, and it was difficult at times because I really didn't have the tools that I needed to get in control of my negative symptoms. And then I found a couple of books about 4 years ago. I was in some trauma myself, and I found these two books, and I started to read them, and I learned a lot about mindfulness, which is all about staying in the moment, which is a very peaceful place to be, because if you run to the future, it causes anxiety. And if you go to the past, it causes depression. So being in the moment is a very peaceful, loving place to be where you don't have any fear. Because fear is a big part of being ADD. And when we have fear, it really blocks our creative mindset. And so many of us are creative. In fact, I just finished a book that is at the publisher, and it's called The Gift of ADD, and the cover was designed by my son, Michael Guare, who is up at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, and it is the Hollywood sign, and laid across the Hollywood sign is ADD Land, because if you think about it, there would not be a Hollywood unless it was for ADD, and this is what I tell a lot of the adolescents and children that I work with, because I really want them to be able to stay in a very positive place. And I'm going to continue about myself in a moment, but I thought, okay, I thought we had a caller, but I guess not. So the book will be out soon, and it highlights a lot of very, very successful people in all different walks of life that are ADD. And the reason that I thought about putting this book together is I work with a lot of parents who get very sad when their children are diagnosed with ADD, and this is not a time for sadness. It's really a gift, and if we can present to our children that we're excited about the fact that they have ADD, they're going to come at it from a completely different place. It's not going to affect their self-esteem or their ability to talk about it themselves. So many of them that I work with don't want other kids to know because they feel that this is such a negative thing to have. And that's something that we really don't want, that message, we really don't want to be given that to our children. So I'm going to be picking up a question from my website. So, yes. Okay, so I had somebody write in and was asking me about the whole testing process and the diagnosis process for children with ADD. These are the steps involved. If you feel that you're seeing symptoms of children 7 and older, that you believe that they're ADD, and you're hearing some complaints from their teachers at school about their behavior, or that they're not academically up to speed, I would find a very good psychiatrist, one who really deals with children more than adults, so that you can really get a better understanding when you talk to him or her about ADD. And I would make an appointment and go in, and at that point in time, the psychiatrist will give you the Connors rating scale. And this is a scale that has a lot of symptoms of ADD on it, and you will hand these scales out to teachers and caregivers, and you as parents will also fill them out, and you'll bring them back to the psychiatrist after they're all collected, and then at that point in time, between reading those and speaking to your child and to yourself, he will make a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. If he diagnoses your child with ADD, there is two different types. There's ADD inattentive, which is the kind of child that usually doesn't get in trouble in school but kind of flies under the radar. They're not paying attention because they've got these creative thoughts that are running through their head, and they seem like everything's okay, but they're missing half the information that's coming at them from the teacher. The other type of ADD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, where your child will exhibit symptoms of hyperactivity, impulsivity, and these are the children that most of the time are behavior issues for the school because they can't sit still, they yell out, they want to be the first person to answer the question. So what you'll do is, at that point in time, when you get the diagnosis from the psychiatrist, you will contact the school and tell them you would like to sit down and put together a 504 plan. The 504 plan comes from the Disabilities Act of 1978 that Congress passed that states anybody with any form of disability, whether physical or mental, is entitled to accommodations. And so these accommodations could be anything from extra set of books, and they're going to vary from elementary to high school and middle school, extra set of books. You could also need preferential seating. If your child has a difficult time paying attention, then they're going to need to be in the front of the classroom. The other accommodations would be extra time for tests. That's a big one, so that they're not looking at the clock when they're taking the test and worried about if they're going to finish. And usually the schools will give 50% more time. Also extra time for long-term assignments. So if they have a project that's due and they're trying to balance homework, and if they're in sports, and this long-term assignment, they may get an extra couple of days for that. Also, another accommodation would be breaking down the long-term assignments so that the kids can really understand that instead of looking at the entire project, they're going to look at it in pieces so that they don't become overwhelmed. And the pieces usually are small week by week, so that they don't shut down in the process of becoming overwhelmed. Another accommodation usually for elementary school children is a reduction in homework assignment, so that if they have 30 math problems, maybe they only have to do the even problems instead of all of them. They're also, if they have writing assignments, those can be smaller. So if you put together the 504 plan, and about 6 months into the school year, after it's been out there for 6 months, the teacher has it, or the teachers, if they're in high school, and you don't see any changes at all, then my suggestion would be that you put in writing to the school that you would like to have your child tested. And these are psych testing, the WISC-4 or the WACE, and these are tests that are done to look at the child's overall IQ and then broken down between verbal and perceptual. There's also subtests involved so that you can really zero in on where their particular issues lie. And then also they would be doing a test called the Woodcock-Johnson. And the Woodcock-Johnson is a test for academic level. So what level is your child up to? If your child is in seventh grade and their reading level is on a third grade level, then that's a red flag that the child isn't learning properly. Something's going on. There may be a definite learning disability that needs to be addressed in the IEP process. So IEP stands for Individual Education Plan. So it's a plan that is created just to help your child. And the accommodations may look very similar to the 504, but they may also add accommodations that will speak to the child's individual learning disability. So, for example, if your child has a written language learning disability, they may decide to work with your child individually and give them something that is going to help them to write, say, an essay. So, for example, they would prompt them to start with an opening sentence or an opening thought, and then to follow through the entire essay. It's a Venn diagram. That's what it's called. I'm sorry, I lost the name of it for a minute. And the Venn diagram is something that they use to help the child flow easier when they're writing so that they can really help them address that specific area. And so my suggestion, again, would be if you're interested in having your child tested and you want to figure out exactly what's going on with them and then go back into school, that you too would get either a coach or an advocate so they can help you to go back into the school. If you have the testing done privately and not through the school, some parents choose to do that. My suggestion would be whoever does the testing, that it is brought, that person that does the testing is brought to the IEP meeting so that they can really speak to what they were seeing during the time of the testing, because they're going to spend about 8 hours with your child, not in one sitting, probably two or three times. So I hope that's helpful, a good answer. If there's any other questions about that, just either call in to this program or you can put questions on my website. And now I have another question. And this one is also from my website. And my child is ADHD and a perfectionist. What can you tell me about this? Okay, perfection is an anxiety issue, and I see it a lot, especially in children and adolescents with ADD. So they worry a lot about, are things that they're doing in school perfect? And so one of the things you do want to get across to your child, as I do with all the kids I work with, is there's no such thing as perfect, and try to help them understand that it's okay to hand things in to their teachers if they're not perfect, because most of the time what they're going to see is they're going to do very well anyway. But if you see that this is really pervasive in their life and it's intruding in not only in school but in other areas, then I would definitely head back to the psychiatrist and talk to the psychiatrist about, is the stimulant medication heightening their anxiety and possibly causing some of these co-occurring anxiety issues, or do you need to add another medication? Another medication could be an antidepressant, which really speaks to the anxiety issue that your child is having. And look, here's my expert advice on medication. I wasn't jumping up and down when I had to put my children on medication, but I felt, this is what I did. I weighed the difference between having them on medication and having them off, and what kind of life were they going to have. And I opted to put them on because I realized that being off the medication, they weren't functioning in school and their self-esteem was really suffering. So if you feel that your child's self-esteem is suffering, if they're really struggling with anxiety or depression, which is another co-occurring disorder with ADD, by all means, call the psychiatrist. Please don't do these medications through pediatricians, because they are psychotropic medications and you really, really need a psychiatrist to speak to what these do and how they're going to work together, especially if your child is on more than one medication. So I hope that was a good answer to the question that was put up on my website. And now I have another one. And this one is, my husband is ADD. He is always forgetting things. What can I do? Okay, so I would imagine this person that posted on my website is not ADD and is the wife. And that can be frustrating can be very difficult for the person who is not ADD. And one of the things that I do with adults that I work with is tell them that they have a responsibility in taking care of themselves and not expecting that their wife or their husband is going to be the one to take care of them. So I would encourage your husband to find a coach and really, or if you're in the South Bay, come to my adult support group on Wednesday nights. You know, find a coach, come to the adult support group. The other thing you can do is sit down with him and figure out why he keeps forgetting things. And maybe the two of you together can come up with some kind of schedule to help him to remember things. I suggest a lot of times so that you really don't have to keep talking to each other about these forgotten things, that you would put a board on your refrigerator, a magnetic board, and write down everything that needs to happen. And as it's happening, to cross it off. And this way, you can just look at the board and see, oh, okay, he was supposed to go to the bank today, and he took care of that. So I don't have to engage in conversation. Because one of the things that you don't want to do in a marriage is to connect all the time on negative things. This would be like a parent, and I tell parents this all the time, who connect only about school. How was school today? Where's your homework? Are you doing your homework? Did you hand that in? Then your child doesn't feel like they want to come home because they really would like to connect with you on a positive level. And your husband, whoever asked me this question, wants to connect with you on a positive level. And again, if you're struggling in your relationship, please contact me through my website and I can set up a time for you to come in and we can talk. And I'd love to also see your husband at our adult support group on Wednesday nights. It's 7:30 to 9 at the Center for Learning Unlimited in Torrance, California. Okay, so here's another question. My doctor wants to put me on meds. I have ADD. Does that mean that once I start, I will be on meds forever? It's a good question. I appreciate that question. No, doesn't necessarily mean that once you start, you'll be on them forever. But here's what is a positive thing about being on medication sometimes. If you are really struggling with the negative symptoms of ADD, if you can't focus, if you procrastinate, if you're overwhelmed, if you're forgetting things or losing things, then a good idea would be to get on a small dose of a stimulant medication, especially if you're an adult. And what the medication is going to do is if you couple it up with coaching, then the tools that the coach will give you will go in better and stay with you if you're on the medication, because you're not going to be as scattered when you're dealing with the coach. What you're hearing from he or she is definitely going to be something that you're going to be able to embrace the tools and most likely be able to utilize them and follow through. Here is something that people with ADD struggle with, and that is consistency and follow through. So if you're going to call somebody to help you with your issues, it's very important that you follow through on that phone call. You see the person, and if you're on meds or not on meds, whatever they're asking you to do, you do. Because if you don't, you're wasting your money and your time. And that's something that I say to my own clients that come in when they tell me that they didn't do their homework from the week before. Then I really believe that they're wasting their time and their money. So I think that's something that you really need to be talking to yourself about. Okay, so I hope that answered that question. And if you have any additional questions, please go to my website, missadd.com. This next question off my website is, I am scattered sometimes and often feel overwhelmed. Am I ADD or just anxious? It's a very good question. because many times the symptoms of anxiety can look very much like ADD. So if you were coming in to see me, I would be asking you questions about your past and want to find out about school and, you know, how well you did. Did you struggle? Were you at times failing subjects? Were you able to follow through on things that you said you were going to do? And if the answer to these questions were no, that you did well in school and you don't have a problem following through and things are going very well for you, had been, and all of a sudden you're beginning to feel scattered and overwhelmed and possibly anxious, again, I would suggest that you find a psychiatrist and you contact the psychiatrist so that he or she can help you to discern whether or not this is attention deficit disorder or anxiety, and at that point in time, what kind of medication that you're going to need. Okay, so now I've got another question on my website, and it says, I can't sleep at night. What can I do to get rid of all the thoughts running in my head and go to sleep? ADD is a disability of rumination, and what that means, of regulation, excuse me, I'm sorry, but what happens with the regulation, we're not able to regulate at times our emotions and our thoughts, and we get overwhelmed. We ruminate many times with thoughts, especially when we lay down to go to sleep. So if this person that asked this question is in the South Bay, my suggestion would be that you really come to my support group on Wednesday nights or give me a call, contact me on my website so we can get together. There is a book that I use extensively, not only in my private practice, but at the group on Wednesday nights called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. This is a powerful, powerful book. It really addresses the whole concept of mindfulness, but one of the biggest things it is able to do is it teaches you how to get those thoughts out, to not engage in your thoughts, to just notice your thoughts instead of really buying into what your mind is telling you. Our mind plays tricks on us all the time and will talk to us, especially more than not in a negative way that kind of keeps us in that place. And so especially when we go to lay down, that's a time when we want to feel peaceful and we want to be able to drift off to sleep. And if we have these kind of thoughts running through our head, it's impossible. One of the things I would suggest to this person who asked this question is deep breathing, and the kind of breathing that you listen to as you're falling asleep. So you take a deep breath in and breathe out slowly, because your mind cannot do more than one thing at a time. So if you're focusing on your breath, then your mind is going to slow down and relax, and those thoughts are not going to be as pervasive if you can focus on the breath. So again, I hope my answer has given you a little bit of help, and if you need additional help, please feel free to contact me on my website, which is missadd.com. Okay, so here I have a question on my website that's interesting because it's not an ADD question. It says, my children are going through a divorce, or I guess the couple is going through a divorce. How can this affect them? What can I do to help? Will this add to their ADD? Okay, so the children are ADD. Okay, whether your children are ADD or not, divorce can be devastating to them. Either they're going to be staying with the mom or they're staying with the dad, however the custody situation is being handled. But you have to really be able to put yourself in their shoes and understand that they are suffering a big loss at this time. And one of the things I tell people that come to me in my practice, I tell them there's absolutely nobody is going to be talking disparagingly about the mother or the father. So the reason I say it that way is it's not only the mom and dad that can talk bad about each other, but the grandparents are involved. There are friends that are involved. So what I like to do is bring in the family so that I can explain to everybody how damaging it would be for the children for them to hear negative things about their children, about their mother or their father. So I think in terms of ADD, they're going to have more anxiety because, again, excuse me, this is a disability related to regulation. So during the divorce and the separation process, they're going to have a lot of emotional feelings that they may not really be able to deal with. So they're going to need you to really help them and give them a lot of positive reinforcement in telling them that both you and your husband love them very much. And that is never going to change because they are their mother and father, and you're always going to be there for them. That is something that they really, really need to understand and they need to feel. And another thing I do say to children that I see who are parents are getting divorced is, you know, right now this is very sad and overwhelming and you feel angry, but as time goes on, this is going to get better. So please, I'm asking everybody out there that's listening, if you are contemplating or in the middle of a divorce, please make sure that you put your children before yourself. Okay, and so now I'm going to go to a phone call from Anthony.
Hello.
Hi, this is Miss AD.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I just had a question, I guess, regarding academics. I'm a student and are at least in the process of becoming one again.
Okay.
And I guess I struggle with adult ADD. And one of the way I got through college was is that, you know, whenever I was studying for a test, I'd let the anxiety build, you
okay.
know, a couple of days before the test. And then I would, you know, jump on myself and kind of get things done. But I was just curious, you know, if you have any strategies in order to become better as I go back to school and try
right.
it again, you know, what
right.
would you recommend? And then, you know, do you recommend, I've never done like extensive medication. Do you recommend that? Or do you just say, you should just try to do the work now?
Well, let me answer your first question. And that is many, many people that I see, that is one of the ways that they have been been successful in school is by waiting to the last minute. So they procrastinate and they develop that feeling of anxiousness, which kind of catapults them forward. And so they feel like, wow, this is the reason why I'm doing well and I got an A in that test. But really, that is not a good way for anybody to approach school, because what happens is the anxiety at times can get so high that if you get into a test, and this has happened to me myself, I remember, your mind is so anxious that it kind of shuts down and your memory, your short-term memory shuts down. So my suggestion for school would be that you start studying like two or 3 weeks out for this test that you're having and break it down. Break it down into pieces that are going to be easy for you to digest. And I used to study by writing things out in different colors. And what I found, this is called mind mapping. It really stays in when you write it because it's a direct line to the area of your brain that holds on to the memory. So that is one way for you to study. The other thing is if you set a time limit for your study time. So, for example, I've got a test coming up in 3 weeks and I'm going to start studying, and every day I'm going to do maybe an hour to two. If you work from a time constraint, what you're doing is you're developing an internal sense of urgency. And it's interesting because a lot of adults that I work with, we've now gone to working with time instead of tasks, because people with ADD, they have a very difficult time discerning time. How much time am I spending? And so it's better to, from the beginning, set up a time limit. And if you have a time limit, it's just like waiting to the last minute to do something. You're actually building that sense of urgency. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. And I just also wanted to ask about the medication side of things.
Okay.
Like, do you?
Well, I took medication for a while, and then I was able to wean off of it because – of all the work that I did on myself. But if you're thinking about going back to school, you might want to take a trip to a psychiatrist and talk to the psychiatrist about the different medications that are out there and, you know, get a feel for what they think. If you, in the past, struggled with school and successes, then you might want to try some meds. It doesn't mean that you have to be on them for the rest of your life, but you might want to use them during the periods when you're studying and taking the tests so that you can really feel more focused. But again, I would suggest that you talk to a psychiatrist about that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Anthony. Please call anytime.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Okay. So now we have another caller on the line. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I must have dropped the call. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to take another question from my website. Okay, so this is from Jeff. This is a question from Jeff. Are there any medical components? Is that to ADD? Okay. ADD does have some medical components to it because it's actually, I hate to even call it this because it gives it a negative twist, but there is a brain damage to the frontal lobe, and that's the medical piece of this whole thing. And depending on the severity of the ADD, then that's what kind of brain damage that there can be. They do PET scans now where they can see by coloring certain areas of the brain the extension, the extent of the different types of brain damage that's related to it. But, you know, to me, that's secondary because I think if we focus more on the positive sides of ADD, it's an amazing gift. That's the only medical component. There are co-occurring disorders that can happen with ADD. Depression, anxiety, you can have bipolar, you can have personality disorders that actually develop over time because of the way we had to deal with our life, especially in adults, living our life in a defensive stance because we're trying to, protect ourselves, I guess you could say. So those are the co-occurring disorders, and the only medical part really is connected to the brain damage in the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe, I didn't explain that, is the area of the brain that helps with organization. So I like to say that we are missing the executive secretary that we need in our brain to be organized. So we have to bring in our own executive secretary. And that's one of the things that I do as a coach is I really help people develop organizational skills that they don't have. So I just wanted to reiterate to everybody that my name is Justine Rotolo, but I'm known as Miss ADD. And my website is missadd.com. Please visit it and come to our Wednesday night support group. Again, it's from 7:30 to 9. It's held at the Center for Learning Unlimited in Torrance, California. I want to thank all my callers today and the questions that were posted to my website. And I will be back next Sunday from 3 to 4 at the Miss ADD Hour. You all take care. Have a good day.